This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com for all your digital marketing needs right here in Knoxville. Proud sponsors of fanrunradio.com. Head on over to smartersearches.com. Check out all the information. Get in touch with them. It can really help your business grow. Locally owned and operated, Smarter Searches, online at smartersearches.com. Do you like Rod's list?
Yeah, two of the positives were actually kind of negative, but you know, if you're going to lose scoring points, it's kind of overthrows are better than underthrows. I guess that's
those receivers just got run a little faster. Houston. I don't know.
Well, that's what Pruitt said, man. I mean, it was, you know, when we threw interceptions,
right?
But
yeah.
I've got a weird question, but we won't stay on it long. Do you ever watch your team, regardless of what sport it is, right? Basketball, baseball. I guess it shows up more in basketball and football, just because speed is kind of important. Do you ever watch? Like, I was watching the Arkansas Texas game, and it just looked like those Texas dudes were trying so, or excuse me, the Arkansas players were trying so hard. Do you ever watch your team and think, man, I just don't know if he's running as fast as he can or trying as hard as he can? Not that it's, you know, a lack of effort. You just wonder.
Yeah.
And I guess throughout the game, there's probably going to be a play where you're like, okay, I'm not, you know, I got a pretty simple job to do here. I'm just going to kind of do it.
I don't really notice the negative, though. I almost notice just when I feel like my team's really flying around, mainly on defense.
Yeah. For example, this year, and I don't have anybody to single out on defense that I think maybe isn't. But it just feels like Theo Jackson plays 110 miles an hour every single play. Like, the guy, there's no stop. He just is giving. I mean, even on the kick six that was, you know, called back. Like, I mean, he had two guys on his ankles. He stops, jukes, lifts up his leg, and just keeps going. I don't know. I've wondered that about the receivers, but I would assume Cody Burns could get those guys to run as fast as hard. Okay, here's an example. I don't know if you were technically a Tennessee fan at this point. 2003, Tennessee went to Auburn. Mm-hmm. Casey Clawson had never lost a road game. And I remember we had a good set of backs. We had 2003, we had Jabari Davis. Okay, yeah. We had Cedric Houston, and I think the third running back was Gerald Riggs. Okay. Tough week for him. And I would say those were three, you know, above average SEC running backs.
Yeah.
But I remember watching, I can't remember the dude's name, Auburn's fullback, and then both Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. I'd never seen players work that hard to block and then to run the football. It just looked like they were on a completely different level. Not so much physically, just effort. I didn't see, you know, I don't remember a Pitt player where I was just like, wow, that guy's just giving everything he's got. But sometimes you just kind of see it. I don't know. Maybe that's an athletic thing. Maybe it's a mental thing. I don't know if you can coach that. Like I said, we won't spend much time on it. Just something I wanted to bring up real quick. All right, positives and negatives. What do you want me to do first?
Oh, you got yours there?
It's a lengthy list. Do we want to just talk on each of them, or if you've got a specific point about one, we'll hang on it for a second. But yes, I've got the list. It's about 15 deep on both.
Let's start with the positives.
You want to go positives first? Mm-hmm. End with a negative?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, some of these have been said on the show, but these were, you know, the ones that were tweeted in. No stop on offense, playing to win, not playing to, as Davey said, proved to kind of get out of the game, pedal to the metal. Now, maybe in the second half against Bowling Green, it didn't look like that, but I also think you were running the football because that's what you could do. Taking the shots early against Pitt, I like that. You're not saying, okay, let's wait it out and see how the game goes. You're taking shots, trying to put them away early. You hit a couple of those, I think it works out. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Positive? Okay. The brand of football itself is exciting. Offense, defense, special teams as a whole, is it exciting? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Special teams especially. Well, that's another one that I'll get to later. The offensive scheme as a whole, you see, we always say, can I see where this makes sense? Can I see the plan here? What's the goal? Does it make sense? We talked about Pruitt and Tyson Helton numerous times. Why do we continue to run it up the middle for negative plays just to try it and prove we can't do it? Mm-hmm. Haven't seen a lot of that from Heupel. Yes, we've had negative plays, but we don't continue to do the same stupid stuff over and over again. The offense doesn't get hung up on one aspect and forego everything else. I think he mixes up shots down the field, sideline, runs, rolls the pocket, you know. It seems to be a every position kind of gets their shot. It doesn't lull with one given identity. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Defensive scheme. Now, I know we gave up 41, but I went back and rewatched it. I thought Tim Banks called a pretty good game. I don't think any of the mistakes or the plays given up were because we were in, you know, the wrong call. We blitzed here and gave up zero coverage and the guy was wide open. I thought the scheme made sense, and if you have better players, I think Tim Banks will be just fine. Did you see any just what are we doing here on the calls themselves when the communication was good and you got it everything in there right?
I don't know enough. It's so hard to tell on defense mm-hmm. what the call was and how they execute. So I have to leave that as a neutral. I don't know. I mean, we got picked apart in zone sometimes. I don't know if that was a scheme problem or an alignment problem or a coverage problem.
Well, I'll tell you where we got picked apart is when Pitt went empty, and I've got some stats to back that up a little bit later. But when Pitt went empty and we could only rush four, it was a nightmare. Overall effort and enthusiasm of the team. Effort on the field by offense and defense and special teams and their enthusiasm to be out there playing football.
It was fine. I don't like giving a ton of stars for things you're...
I'm not giving a ton of stars. I'm just saying it's a positive.
Stuff you're supposed to do, you know? Like, I like the Pat Summitt approach. Like, you just, that's a non-negotiable. The problem is, last year, year before that,
none.
Year before that.
Yeah, we've had none.
Yeah. So, it's good.
Well, I think
I'm glad it's on your list.
I think they're going a little bit above and beyond. I told you when Pruitt and his team ran out against Georgia State, right? It was dead. Like a bunch of zombies.
Yeah.
Just walking around. This team, they're standing up on the bench when the team's on defense. They're waving the towels. They're jumping up. Every third down, they're trying to get the crowd going. I don't know if a Pruitt team ever did that. And it's not just one or two guys. It's almost the entire defense saying, you know, get in the game. We're in the game. We need you to. I've liked it so far. I'm a big, what would you call that? It's not aesthetic. It's just kind of a vibe thing. I'm a big proponent of that. I think this team has really good energy and enthusiasm. The next one, this was a Twitter submission. The tight end is back. We were worried. Do we have depth? Do we have playmakers? Jacob Warren looks pretty damn good. He looked good against Pitt. Princeton Fant has not, you know, had a touchdown, but he looks like he's been serviceable. He blocks well. He's caught some passes. I think we have a tight end.
We're going to use him. I'm surprised we're even using him.
I know, because that was not a big staple of Heupel's in the past.
Yeah.
This is good for recruiting. Go get a you know, big playmaker tight end. So you agree with that? Tight end's back? We need to count all tight end catches last year and see where we're already at this year. I bet it's already close.
We probably already passed it.
We seriously might have. I'm not sure.
All yards, I can remember is
probably for sure.
One against Vanderbilt, one against A&M.
I think we tied touchdowns already.
Yeah, because the only touchdown was Vanderbilt and A&M, right?
Was there two? Okay.
Yeah, we had one in Vandy, Harrison Bailey.
So we've only had one to tie it in. So we're halfway there through two games. Let's see. The defensive line is better this year with less talent. I agree they're still not I'd say they're an average to slightly below average defensive line. I also think they are less talented than they were last year. And do you remember how long Kyle Trask had to throw? And that was when we would send five.
Yeah, there's improvement. But I don't know if it's going to be enough improvement to really matter.
No, I know. I'm just saying you lost a bunch of guys. Some starters last year aren't playing right now at all. Is Aubrey Solomon still on the team, by the way?
I don't know. Why, somebody needs to ask Josh Heupel that.
I think Rodney Garner's doing a good job. I put this one in all caps, and I totally agree. This was my biggest takeaway from the game. Special teams! Mike Eckler, give that man a raise. Kicker, perfect on the season. Paxton Brooks, boomers to the sideline, too. He's coughing, cornering it down towards the end zone. He's punting the guy running to the sidelines. We're down there. Even if he were to catch it and try to run, we're going to pummel him anyway. Pitt absolutely stopped trying to return kickoffs because they were just smothered.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great job by Mike Eckler. Blocked the punt, set up a touchdown. Let's see. Punt return. But they are mixing in some new guys. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got Valus back there for one. I'm trying to think of who else. We got Valus, Theo, and then Trayvon's been back there when they're worried about a fake. But no, special teams is good. Mike Eckler is a his chili's hot on game day.
Well, he's an energy guy for sure.
I don't know how much they show him on TV. The guy does not stop.
Yeah, they showed him a
he is
after the punt block.
Oh my gosh, he's ridiculous. Well, he's bloody after the first game. Next point. Ironically, points. We're scoring points. Over 30, averaging 36 points a game through two, almost to the 37 that we said we'd like. Problem is you're 1-1. But yeah, the offense is it's putting up points. It does make it a more exciting brand of football. It sucks when you
like
give up.
Like said, it's not that hard to move the football. Exactly. And, I mean, you got – and think about – Hooker gets loose on the sideline. You throw a screen pass, it goes for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
The Pruitt offenses were laughably bad.
I think Callaway's going to be pretty good. He reminds me of Dante Stallworth. Doesn't look like him, but he's just got that quick juke and first step. Remember Stallworth?
Yeah. I just wince because, you know. I'm not saying
he's going to be an all SEC first teamer. I'm just saying it's, you know, the last couple of guys we've seen do that, other than that weird Tyler Bird one, like Robert Meacham and Dante Stallworth. Catch the ball on a out route, put the foot in the ground, and all of a sudden you're down the sidelines. Go back and watch that play. There's no way you should have scored a touchdown. Let's see here. Next up. There's going to be some debate on this one. One person said he's actually happy that there's not musical quarterbacks after a couple of overthrows. He's glad that Heupel is saying, nope, this is my guy, I'm sticking with him, I have confidence.
Well, did he?
What?
I mean, yes. I'd argue that's not the case. Like, well, okay.
Maybe Milton might not play this week because he's unhealthy. He was injured. He couldn't do...
I think
do...
y'all are saying opposite things.
He thinks Milton got benched and they went with Hooker and Milton could have gone back in.
I think he could have gone back in.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Well, he didn't get hurt standing on the sideline, so if he can't play this week, he probably couldn't have gone back in the game last week. If that's your theory, that's fine. I'm just going off what the coach has said in the reports that he's hurt.
Well, some of the reports were that they believe he could have gone back in, from what I heard. I mean, on the drive yesterday, Adam Sparks was talking about he believes that, yeah, I mean, he got hurt on the play, but, I mean, it wasn't like he didn't have his helmet. They couldn't have put him back out there.
I thought Will said they didn't give him his helmet back.
Will was wrong on that.
Okay.
Or if they did, they took it away at a different part, but they actually showed him at the start of the second half he had his helmet on. That is, if Joe Milton's number 7 and 6'4".
I think we do have two number 7s. You might want to double-check the tape. I'm just saying, well, okay, I wouldn't call that musical quarterbacks, though, at that point.
They weren't moving in
And again, I said there'd be debate. Some people were saying, oh, he's overthrown three guys. Get him out of there. Let's go to the next guy. And it's, again, debatable. Let's see. One person said, development of certain players. Jeremy Banks looks like a new player.
Mm-hmm. In parts of his game, yeah.
Theo.
Theo, what do you mean parts of his game?
He still makes dumbass decisions.
Neither of those were like a stupid late hit out of bounds. I think they were both just football plays, and you made a mistake.
Something in the first game, though, too? I mean,
I don't think so. Did he?
I thought he did.
Did he have a personal foul in the first game?
I'm pretty sure he did, too.
Can you look that up real quick? I don't remember that. I'm just saying it's not like he's out there punching people.
No. I mean, his energy.
I don't have a problem with the tackle penalty. I didn't like the call. If it's a penalty, it's fine. I thought that was effort. The block in the back, it looked like he tried to pull up. Maybe he didn't. It was a mistake. It was a bad play. He's just trying to block and, you know, set up a touchdown.
I mean, I believe he plays with a lot of effort. I just don't think he's very intelligent a lot of the times in the decisions ultimately makes.
That's fine. He's also playing at a much higher level than he did at any time last year. He's already got, I think, 2 sacks on the season, a bunch of tackles for loss. I'm pretty sure he's your team's leading tackler. It might be Theo Jackson, but Banks is right. Banks looks like a very capable SEC linebacker. Again, just development. The next question was, or the next mention was Theo Jackson, who does look, you know, really good. Someone said Tyler Barron's taking a step forward. I would tend to agree. Alante Taylor doesn't seem to get picked on too much, but he has made a couple mistakes. I think secondary play's been okay for the most part. Let's see. Then he mentioned the D-line kind of as a whole with lesser talent, whatever. The team looks coached. Nate, that's a big one for you. Does this team look coached? Do they look like they know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part,
yeah. I mean, there have been some. I don't know. And what I mean by that is, like, just show us that you're trying. And yeah, that all those check off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these are kind of cross.
They're trying to get. They're trying to develop an identity. They're trying to play fast. Like, I mean, some of the dumbest coaching we've seen recently is when Butch Jones basically said, "I'm a fast speed tempo guy," and eventually as the seasons were on, we got slower and slower and slower. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Josh Heupel is going to allow that to become a thing. I mean, he said he was mad they went too slow in the Pitt game at times. So,
which would, if he looked at the total plays at the end of the game, he probably was upset.
I mean, you have to have an identity and you have to stick to it, and I think they're doing that.
Okay, that was the positives. Okay. Is there any that I missed that stood out to you?
No, I think you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The last one was just overall team culture. They look like they're playing for each other. They like each other. I see the offensive guys celebrating with the defensive guys after 3-and-out. Players high-fiving after a big play. Seems like everybody seems to get along.
Yeah, and the challenge there will be if you do lose some games in the middle of the year. As the year wears on, can you still – will you have that as
– Yeah, especially that stretch of – what's the stretch, Dave? Is it Missouri, Ole Miss?
By Bama.
By Bama, Kentucky? No, the bye is after Bama.
You got 8 straight SEC after this week.
That's right.
8 straight SEC games after this week.
That's impossible. South Alabama's got to be in there somewhere.
They come in after those 8 games.
Davey, we only play 8 SEC games.
Good point.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll regroup.
I was just going to run it together and give the
negatives coming back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Stick with it.
Good tease. Tease the negative. Right. Genius.
Maybe it's 8 weeks.
Welcome back. Houston's got his list of negatives.
I hate that you made us do this second.
I want to be clear. I did misstate the 8 straight things, but you have 8 straight weeks before you play another non-conference game.
That's what you meant.
With the bye week right in the middle?
Yeah. It's not right in the middle, but it's kinda close.
Yeah, a little more towards the
4 in the front, 3 in the back.
Or is it 5-2?
5-2.
So 5 straight weeks of SEC games would have been accurate.
At Florida, at Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, at Bama, off, at Kentucky, Georgia. Then you get South Alabama. And then the granddaddy of them all, hosting Vanderbilt.
So we play 8 straight games before the bye? And Bama's the last of the 8?
Great scheduling, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think if you look at it...
So it's bye week, Kentucky, Georgia, USA, Vandy?
Mm-hmm.
8 straight games with Bama at the end?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're going to lose to them anyway, so might as well.
I know, but you're already going to be depleted, so now your backups are going to go out there and get pummeled.
I mean, it
pummeled.
Works this year. If you have, like, you know, if you had, like, your best team ever coming in this year, you'd hate that schedule.
Well, in 2015, remember, it was the opposite. We played Bama, their 8th game in a row. We were coming off a bye week, and we were able to keep it close.
Bama's bye week is also after they play us. So it's not like they get one in between.
Yeah, because they're
I know,
their
but they're Alabama.
LSU.
Yeah, they always get theirs before LSU, right? And Georgia and Florida always get theirs before they play each other. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense.
They get a tough little schedule before we come in.
Who's that?
Ole Miss, A&M. Or
who?
Ole Miss,
who?
Alabama.
Oh.
Play Ole Miss at A&M and then at Mississippi State.
Hmm.
I mean, it's Alabama. Like that, they're going to win all those games, but it's still it's not.
At Ole Miss.
No, they host Ole Miss.
They do?
Yeah, they're on the road at A&M and at Mississippi State.
For some reason in my head, that game was in Tuscaloosa last year. But no, okay, that makes sense. Kiffin Hatt must have stole the walkie-talkies. All right, let's do the negatives. No particular order, just what was sent in. Many people said this one. The fourth down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Number one, call a timeout, challenge the spot. Many people said if you challenge it, you're going to win. I wish he could have. I think we would have had the same situation with the Jalen Wright touchdown that they couldn't say was 100% a touchdown. Budget cuts, not enough camera angles. I just don't think they would have given it to us.
They should have given it to us. They
I agree. I agree. The refs were lazy. I just don't think they would have. I don't know if they would have overturned. It was definitely a first down.
You can't see the ball, but I think they would have been able to draw a line
maybe,
with the plane
maybe.
And be like, there's no way it's not.
Well, I thought that on the Jalen Wright touchdown, too. It was clear as day from the over the top. His foot's in the end zone. He's leaning over his feet with the ball, and they said, oh, we can't see it. So I don't know. ACC refs, again, I go back to what I said earlier, never allow them back in. Can't wait to take that SEC crew up to Pittsburgh. Should we go to that game? That might be a fun game. You ever been to Pittsburgh?
Nope. I've driven through. I haven't.
It's not a bad little city. Number two, probably should have been number one on the list, penalties. Davey, through two games in 2021, where does Tennessee...
I look more for penalty yards than I do penalties.
That's fine. Yards per game.
We are currently... We're 120th.
So 10th, we average, most.
Yes.
Okay.
We average 89.5 penalty yards a game.
So we had...
Hey, Bowling Green's right behind us.
What we have in this past game?
Didn't we
have... 134?
Yeah, it was like 11 for something.
So we have 45 in the first game, give or take, and then 135 this game, give or take. One bad game will really skew that average with two, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but when you look at the gap in between Pittsburgh and Bowling Green, I mean, man, we don't want this trend of playing good teams and racking up all these penalty yards to continue.
No, you're 100% right.
I mean, if it goes down again like to, I don't know, 30, 40 yards in penalties this week and then against Florida we're back up to 120, obviously that's going to
I wish there was some way to find what each individual penalty call was in the game. And, I mean, obviously they're totaling the yardage. I'd like to have a list of, you know, here were, how many penalties was it? Was it 12?
That was 11. But
okay, 11. Yeah, here are the 11 penalties in order, how many yards, time of game, whatever. Right? I'd like to see that. Because, and I've got a tier here that we can discuss later because I'm sure we'll come back to this at some point. Like defensive pass interference, to me, unless it just becomes a real big problem, I'd rather you get pass interference and give up a touchdown. The Jeremy Banks, his two penalties, I think you can clean that up. Those don't make me as mad. They're kind of effort, spirit of the game stuff. False starts. We almost had a delay of game. We had to burn a timeout. That it wasn't a penalty. It basically was, though, because we could have stopped the clock with Pitt on their last drive.
Mm-hmm.
Heupel's best year at Central Florida as far as penalty yards was his first year, where he averaged 62.2 a game, and that had him at 94th in the country, so 94 out of 130.
Okay.
And then I'm just giving
It doesn't matter. I just wanted to see where we were after 2 weeks.
127th and 19. And
Dave. It doesn't matter. You bury this point so many. Yes, he's had bad penalty teams. We're bad through 2 weeks. If it continues, it's going to be a problem. But like. Stupid personal fouls up here, false starts, procedure stuff,
mm-hmm.
offsides if you're the defense, like that's just stupid. Pass interference, holding on offense, that's kind of next tier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this, you know, the absolute, well, again, we can get into it later. I've got them. I listed them here somewhere. Find it. It's all good. Let's see here. Quarterback play. Red flag.
Yeah.
Someone said, let's see here. Someone's exact quote was, Heupel's a quarterback guru and this is what we're getting right now?
Yeah, it needs to get better.
You chalk it up for, we maybe just don't have the talent. maybe a little bit of a lack of talent and first year new system?
I think it's all three. Mm-hmm. I would throw in just, you know, not execute. I mean, I think if you had shown Heupel the camera angles of his guys getting open to start the pit game without showing him what was going to happen with his quarterback, he'd been like, oh, yeah, we're hitting some. I mean, like, I don't know. Surely they think Joe Milton can hit some of those throws.
Apparently he did in practice all the time. If he doesn't. More so than Hooker or Bailey, and that's why he got the job.
If he always throws the ball the way he did in the first quarter on Saturday, he should not even be a quarterback.
Surely to goodness. I mean, it's one thing if you've got a guy, it's like, okay, if the receivers are more than 30 yards down the field, he just can't throw it. He can't. There's no way he can be on time if they're right. already to this point. With Milton, that's not the problem. I feel like Davey said this after the first game. I think, like, just either float it a little bit more or take something off of it. Maybe that's a nerves thing and he gets better. I just don't know how it's possible at some point in his brain to say, I'm going to throw it a little bit softer this time or a little bit different this time. Instead of trying to lead him, I'm just going to put it on him and let him. If he gets tackled, we still get 40 yards. Surely to goodness, that can be a calculation that is made, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah, I would think so. Next, defensive rotations. You said that Beasley and Page started the game?
Started the game. Makes no sense.
I mentioned those two, Banks and Mitchell, as well as Tyler Barron. They're all three on the sidelines at different points in the game, ready to go in. I mean, like running out after a play and getting called back by the coaches. I think if your starters are running into the game like they're ready to play, they want to be out there on this specific play, mm-hmm. I think you got to let them go. But, Davey, what did you say about the linebackers, why they're playing so many? They don't know who's...
Yeah, they don't think there's much difference between their typical or who we saw start week one and who we saw start week two. They're all just pretty much in the same camp.
I mean, I know it's weird to me and you that Beasley and Page got the start. We did go three and out to start the game on defense. But it does also seem like maybe those guys aren't terrible, but the only way you're going to get big plays or negative plays is if Banks and Mitchell are on the field.
No, I mean, they've been terrible against Bowling Green and Pitt. And
the backups?
I mean, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, I showed you some of those videos. I mean, one of them just fell down the other day. Like, they can't cover anything.
That was against Pitt, right? That was Beasley?
Yeah, against Pitt. Might have been Pitt. I don't know. Those two are not – it's a big drop-off.
I need more film. I'm not disagreeing with you. I need more to watch. I think we could ask Heupel for the cut-ups.
I'm sure he would.
Like every play for Salon Page. Pew, file.
Yeah, I'm
sure every play for Jeremy Banks.
Happy to send it to us.
From the All-22? If we got an NIL deal with a player, you think we could get access to that?
No.
Okay.
It'd be a good shot.
Yeah, it was worth a shot. The next one, red flag. Heupel's too nice.
Yep.
That's one for you.
I mean, he might be. It's a question mark. Is Heupel too nice? Question mark.
I actually did put a question mark because I don't know.
I want him to be nice when it's appropriate, and I want him to hold his guys accountable so that they, you know, are a disciplined football team.
Fair enough. Next up, turnover margin. The Vols are -4 after 8 quarters, have not forced a turnover other than on downs. You've got 1 pick, 3 fumbles on offense. Have not forced a fumble on defense. Yeah. It'd be one thing if you'd forced 3 and they just bounced right into the hands of the offense for recovery. You have not forced a fumble, which is weird because they tried really hard against Pitt. Give Pitt some credit. You've gotten your hands on 2 against Bowling Green and Theo. It was a very tough play. It was only one hand. One hand extended against Pitt. But real quick, going back to positives, I think the run defense has been pretty good through 2 games. Pass rush, not so great. All right, the next negative, timeout management versus Pittsburgh, 4th quarter. Took one on a delay of game.
Yeah.
A would-be delay of game. And then you took one seemingly after a play had started on 3rd down for Pitt, and we looked to have had it covered. We were actually about to get to Pickett, and nobody was open.
Yeah.
And the timeout got... I mean, that was your second timeout in the 4th quarter that you had called, knowing you might need them to stop the clock later.
Might have been a factor in not challenging the spot.
Mm-hmm. So would you say maybe not a red flag, but definitely one to watch?
Yeah.
Maybe a yellow flag?
Yeah.
Keep an eye on this one? Okay. Missed opportunities versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
had a chance for the kick
the
six.
Mistakes.
Had a chance for the you know the deep throws. Okay, we'll move fast.
Down the go. Somebody said you know Joe Milton like he was looking at the Jumbotron instead of trying like you know one more step and a dive on that one play. Maybe he even gets into the end zone. Then you got that's the Cooper Mays show as we backed up to a 40-some-odd yard field goal.
I'd say that's a missed opportunity. Yeah.
And Heupel talked about that on Vol calls. He was like, we got 3 points on a drive where we're lucky our kicker even made it. He backed up.
Yeah,
much.
Exactly. This one has nothing to do it. This was a game question, but someone said recruiting. It's September, year one. I'm not going to kill recruiting until it's final. Another negative, O-line play as a whole. I think it's better than last year. It's still not great. And I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass until we see Cooper get back in and what they look like. Also, don't forget you lost starter Kayron Calvert at guard before the season started.
Well, I've got a negative that's probably not on there. I'll loop it in with this. We had the tight ends being involved in the pass game as a positive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. I'm worried they're not physical enough in the run game. That our tight ends aren't giving us things in the run game. Both tight ends were in on that fourth and short, and they were a big problem.
Yep.
With why you weren't even close to getting that first down.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to go shotgun, going tight formation like that is not a good idea. Like spread them out, spread to run in that situation. That's just me.
Yeah. The problem in the goal line though is the defense can actually outnumber you if you try and spread them out because they don't have to respect you throwing the ball 20 yards down the field because you're on the four.
No, that's true. But then I'm going to trust my guys with speed and you know make a check based on the coverage. All right, gonna hurry up.
Yeah.
Linebacker play, talked about it. It has not been great. I still think it's better than last year through two games. We'll see what happens. I put this one in. Drops for receivers. Let's catch the damn ball, boys. It's what your paid scholarship money to do. Remember I said earlier someone said that a positive was that there's no musical quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
Someone said a negative is that he's too loyal to Joe Milton. Like I said, right. A lot of these up for debate.
We'll wait and see on that.
Next one, coach speak during media availability. I don't know if that's a red flag. A lot of coaches do that, even good ones. Next up, closed practices. I think Matt would agree. We don't know the team. We don't learn anything about the team. We can't see with our eyes and then judge you based on the performance on Saturday. I think this is a big one. Miscommunications mentioned. Jerome Carvin said they blew the offensive line assignment on the 4th and 1, which –
I don't know
if
what
you
they're
if you called a timeout to stop their third down, you probably should have called a timeout to make sure the 4th and goal from the 3 or 4th and 1 from the maybe it was the 2 that you got the right call in there. That's just me. Rusty sent this in some coaching miscues, challenge the spot, the shotgun on goal line. That's probably a 30-minute discussion if we wanted to have it, and the backup linebackers being on the field when Pitt got the ball with 4 minutes to go and they kind of ran it down our throats.
Yeah. That.
And then someone also said depth. I don't think that's Heupel's fault at this point. In fact, most of the depth you have is because Heupel went out and got guys, especially on defense.
Yeah, that might be a red flag for you not doing very well this year, but it's not a red flag on the coaching staff. Stick with us. We'll come back with more.
Negatives do outweigh the positives at this point, though.
No, you know.
It's Twitter. Wrath.
Final segment of 3 and Out.
I'll save my we'll have a Byron Young discussion tomorrow before his debut Saturday at noon in Neyland Stadium.
All right.
And what he might hopefully bring to this defense. I am worried, and Davey brought it up during the break. I was going to mention it tomorrow. I'll say it now. I worry that he is the next really overhyped player because anyone you haven't seen is always overhyped. I mean, Bailey right now, super overhyped. Byron Young right now, super overhyped. Aubrey Solomon before he was cleared his first year, super overhyped.
€3.
We didn't hear much about Callaway until the broadcast said, oh, yeah, Heupel said he might be their best receiver, and so far he might be.
Well, here's the only good news on that front. It's not just people making that up out of thin air. Josh Heupel even said on Vol calls last night that Byron Young coming back will be really big for the defense.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you tomorrow why.
So there you go. After a thrilling opening week to the NFL, week two is here. You got Thursday night football tonight. FanDuel is hooking you up with a risk-free bet for all customers for week two of the NFL season.
Mm.
How much?
You can go money line. It's $10.
Oh wow.
Same game parlay?
No.
Can you do it on a same game parlay?
Well, you can do.
I think you can at the other. Odds.
Yeah. 16 game parlay coming up. All right.
Your odds just have to be worse than the minus.
Get rich.
200, which if you bet any game against the spread, if you want to ride with the backup quarterback and the football team tonight, because, you know, it is Jeremy Pruitt and the New York Giants,
and
that's
Derek
an
Dooley.
Option for you.
And Derek Dooley.
Yep.
And Freddie Kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
Will?
No.
No, sorry.
There is one more somewhere, though. You're right.
If you want to ride with some of our NFL Eliminator picks
to
just win via money line, as long as the odds are worse than minus 200, you're good there. There's tons of prop bets you can roll with.
Well, they got Kevin
and
Sheer.
You can go with the same game parlay like we've talked about before. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Easy to use. They pay out fast. We love it. Play along every single weekend with the NFL and college football, of course, as well. If you haven't tried it out yet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with our promo code 3OUT. That's 3OUT. And if you are a brand new user, you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code 3OUT, 3OUT, when you sign up to let them know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is not withdrawable. Site credit expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, Davey, what
So we have NFL Eliminator pick to get things rolling.
Isn't someone out already? I can't remember who. Who was that? Who did they pick?
Houston Kress took the New England Patriots.
It was my own fault. I went against my own knowledge. Ooh. What did I say? I said the Dolphins are Belichick kryptonite, and then I talked myself out of it and said, oh, when they lose, it's always in Miami. Nope, Miami, kryptonite for Belichick. They go into Foxborough and win. I called it. I hedged.
I think Brad said Craig Fitzgerald's also at the Giants.
That's right.
There you go.
And then I said, did you say Kevin Shear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor guy Craig Fitzgerald turned down his dream job at Maryland to stay with Pruitt. Mm-hmm. Fired. I wonder what he's making now. Didn't Maryland offer him just like $2 million or something? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I thought Craig left before everything went south.
Well, he was going to go to Maryland and didn't after the first year. Then he came back. Where did he go after that?
He went to the Giants straight before. The Giants.
He did go straight to the Giants. Okay.
Yeah.
So Pruitt followed Fitzgerald?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, David.
Craig's out soon, I'm sure.
Who gets to go first this week?
It is me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wrote it down, too. I'll check that.
Who you got?
Adam, you went first last week.
So?
I was thinking Tampa Bay because Atlanta looked awful.
They did.
But I would rather actually save Tampa Bay for a little later on. Now that I think about it, and I'm trying to go outside of a divisional opponent. So I'm actually just going to ride with the Cleveland Browns. I think they're going to bounce back against the Houston Texans, which Houston looked good, but the Jaguars are the worst team in all of the National Football League. So, yeah, give me the Browns.
The only problem with that is there's not really any good options outside of divisional games left. Davey, who did Adam pick last week?
Buccaneers.
He took Tampa on the Thursday night.
Well, this is going to make this pick fun then. I will take the Green Bay Packers at home on Monday Night Football. I think there's going to be a fire.
Smart. You're trying to get Adam out. Okay,
There's going to be fire under their ass to, relax, as Aaron Rodgers once said. And
he did say it's only one game.
Make sure they win. It'll be in Lambeau. It is a division game, but I feel like that's negated by the fact that it's the Detroit Lions. I guess Green Bay could lose, but feels pretty safe to pick them at home in a big Monday night game where they have to bounce back. Backs against the wall. I'll take the Packers. That also keeps Hickman. That kind of eliminates the next biggest line. He can't take the Bucks again. So who you got, Adam?
Well, I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals to beat the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, big mistake. I watched a lot of Cardinals football last year because they got Kyler Murray, fantasy team. They're up and down, man. If they play great 1 week, they're going to have a letdown the next week, so we'll see.
Big game for Kyler, big game for D-Hop.
Vikings might be about to hit the panic button.
I was going to say, did you watch the Vikings?
Yeah, they're pretty terrible.
They looked not good, but.
So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
And it's a storyline to definitely keep an eye on. Who's the first coach fired in the NFL this year?
Urban Meyer.
No.
Who's a second-year coach that's sucking? or third year. I mean, there's a lot of first year coaches that have been.
Nagy's
really
got to be done, right? He's going to mishandle this quarterback.
I feel like
situation.
He's close.
That's a good one.
I also do look to see what happens in. Actually, no, I take that back.
Yes.
Are there anybody? Really?
Gotta be Nagy. It's a good call.
I'm full of them.
What was the score in that game?
Maybe Dallas.
Ooh.
McCarthy?
Nah.
You don't think so?
Things start to go bad.
That, no, I will.
I mean, they look good in week one. Like, you know.
They looked good with Dak early in the year and what? Still went 1-3 for the first four games.
I don't think they looked. They looked good on offense.
Didn't their best defensive player just get hurt, too?
Yeah, their best pass rusher. Lawrence.
Like Justin Herbert might throw for 450 yards this weekend.
That's what me and Davey are banking on. Fantasy.
Who's the Falcons coach? Is this his first year?
Arthur Smith, yeah.
Yeah. So
Titans
he's
OC.
They looked awful.
Yeah, but the
he
first
didn't
year
have
guys
much to work.
Get
he didn't have anything to work with.
Doesn't have anything to work with.
Matty Ice is washed.
I don't.
The offensive line sucks. Their defense is trash.
They have no running backs. Mike Davis.
Ridley needs to pick it up this week.
I was going
to
say, like, Gage, Ridley, Pitts, don't they have one more guy that's pretty good receiver?
Man, okay, here's the thing.
No.
Never take a first-year tight end in fantasy. I don't care how good they are. Tight end is, like, one of the slowest positions to gain some traction in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Marcus Colston says hi.
His first year,
well,
he was
a wide receiver. So
yeah,
it was a tight end, wide receiver. He played a little bit of both. Trust me, I know. Also, it's Kyle Pitts. They don't have to line him up at tight end. If they do, that's a big mistake. Just put him in the box and then motion him out. He's going to be.
It's week one. Don't overreact. Tom Brady threw a pick six to lose the game last year in week one.
That's right.
Back and look to back. How that season turned out.
Back to back pick sixes to end the game for him. Titans opener. Speaking of, real quick, I know we're about to head out. Do you remember, Davey, what year is this for you on the show? Is this year 4, 5?
I started Butch Jones's last season.
So, like before the season?
Yeah. We're riding
so
into the year. I started May
of
2017.
Yeah, so we're going into your fifth year. Every Monday and then Tuesday for the last 4 years, after a Titans game, he would want to talk about it.
Yep.
Except he's got he's got a Titans shirt on
today. I'm wearing Titans. Okay,
he has not mentioned it one time.
Okay, in fairness, I'm a little spent. I've been going on shows all around the country talking about the Titans this week.
That's never stopped you before.
Yeah, we can talk about it tomorrow. It was bad. That was a very, very poor performance all around.
Yeah, I've come to expect that with the Titans. Big game, home game.
They just let you down.
In fairness, I've not really gone to just NFL talk in general this week. I actually am like getting excited for the Florida game. I know what's ultimately going to happen.
Wow.
But I want to see how this quarterback battle shakes out.
Who the Titans have this week?
Seattle, going on the road.
Oh, God, I know how that's going to end up.
I got a show in Portland later on tonight. So,
you flying out there?
No.
You've got an appearance on a Portland radio show.
I got a show in Portland.
Or is it a podcast? What is it?
I believe it's their.
You believe it's Believe?
No, I believe it is their ESPN affiliate out in Portland. I've not done any research on who I'm talking to.
Is that the one that Gruden went on and said, "Rocky Top, man, great song."
No, that was in Seattle.
Seattle, okay. I just remembered it was Oregon. I couldn't remember if it was Portland or Seattle, but Seattle makes sense. Mm. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
But quickly,
13th kicker in 2 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Who'd they get, by the way? They signed him up to the practice squad, right?
Randy Bullock. You know, Ryan Tannehill used to hold for him in college.
Hmm. Okay.
Titans do have a good history of Bullock as players.
Small sample size.
100%, though. You should have gone with that. So you got to keep the positive. Keith Bullock, hell of a linebacker. He had played a little in, too, didn't he? He was one of those Swiss Army knife type players. How worried are you on a scale of 1 to 10 about the Titans as the season goes on?
Get back to me after Sunday.
Okay, but after 1 week.
Yeah, there's a lot of signs for concerns. I mean, we talked about red flags for the Vols all day. The Titans had a lot of red flags. Their defensive coordinator, their offensive coordinator, the offensive line playing bad. where do you want me to stop?
Did he promote from within on the DC?
Yeah, Shane Bowen. Well, Shane Bowen was there last
year. He's doing the Butch Jones thing of, like, I don't want to actually bring anybody from the outside. Yeah. I'm just going to promote my buddies.
In fairness, on the offensive side, it had worked the last couple of times.
That's true.
But defensively, he needed to go out. Like, after Dean Pease retired, that defense really fell off.
Where's he? He's in Atlanta now, too, right?
Yeah, he actually came out of retirement.
What does that say about Vrabel?
Nothing. It was, he thought he was actually going to get to travel, and then COVID hit, and then he couldn't travel. So he's like, I might as well come back and coach football.
If I said that about the Vols, he'd be killing me for being too positive.
That's
saying.
Literally what they said.
We'll do it again
tomorrow. You believed it.
Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.